Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 13th of October. All things political coming up in just a moment, and we have so much to talk about today. We'll be looking at the polls, which I think are worthy of our attention right now. As I was saying during the news, before the news, that Politico.com asked a number of people, is Obama headed for a blowout victory? And there was interesting response to this. The professor of international affairs at Harvard, Stephen Walt, said it depends on how you define blowout. He could win narrowly in the popular vote, say 52-48, but carry most or all of the battleground states. We do see a rebound by the stock and credit markets today. How long will that last? And could it, as someone has suggested, clear enough doom and gloom from the air that the electorate's natural center-right tendencies could peek through? Who knows? We'll also be looking at the results of Troopergate, the investigation, or Tasergate, as Sarah Palin calls it, and much more on the table as we get very close to voting for president for the first time in 4 years. We'll have a political science professor with us. And I'm anxious to get the conversation started. I'm here today with Rhonda Fanning, producer of this program, and it is our fall membership drive, and we're at the end of it, folks. This is it. It's ended today at 1 o'clock this afternoon. So please, if you haven't supported us yet, this is the time, particularly during this election season. You are the foundation of our budget, and it's why we're asking for your gift right now at WPR.org, or you can call toll-free at 888-202-2552. Hello, Rhonda.
Good morning, Kathleen. I just want to mention that we have a goal this hour of $4,000, and meeting that goal will help us keep this program possible in the months to come. So won't you be the first to donate? To get us started this hour during Kathleen's The Last Chance to Donate or Pledge Your Support Towards This All Things Political Hour. This program comes to you every Monday morning. The news happens so fast, and in case you miss it, you can tune in to Kathleen every Monday morning at 9 for a recap of all the major headlines out of Washington each and every week. So please go online now, WPR.org, or toll-free at 888-202-2552. Let's get all those political junkies to put down their morning paper for just 2 minutes and give us a call and pledge your support this hour.
And then call on air, so you political junkies, as we talk about what's going on in the race. Yeah, it is a last day of our fall membership drive. The pledge will end at 1 p.m. today, so your financial support during this hour is as critical as ever, perhaps even more critical as we are on the last day with a goal of $4,000. Think of all the terrific conversations that we've had. I know I talk a lot about going to Iowa, but we did go to Iowa, and it was where everything started, at least on the Democratic side, which was very interesting. We interviewed all kinds of people there, and we followed this race, and we will continue to follow it. And I know that people are engaged in these political conversations. Call, please. Make your donation, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge.
That's right. And we are coming full circle. It's a very long, big circle this election season, but we are coming to the end. And meeting this overall goal for this drive will help us put us in a good place for the rest of the fiscal year. So pledge now. We can keep on bringing you the programs that you rely on each and every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. Take a moment to think about how much Wisconsin Public Radio is worth to you, and then go online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge today.
And what you give us helps give you great programming every day. Your contribution of any amount joins the contributions of other members to provide one-third of our budget. When you go online at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552, you'll just be adding your voice to the more than 40,000 members who support Wisconsin Public Radio.
That's right, Kathleen. And also, 5,744 people have pledged so far during this drive, but our goal is 7,200, so we need a couple more thousand people to give us a call at 888-202-2552 or go online at WPR.org and pledge your support. Again, our goal this hour for all things political, the last time you're going to be able to pledge to this show and all of the news that Kathleen and her guests bring you, is $4,000. So please call and then call in and talk to Kathleen and the guests this hour.
I was thinking, you were mentioning this last week, one of our, well, we, I love this hour, but in the not-too-distant past, Bob Schieffer was with us, who's the moderator of Wednesday's debate, and I kept thinking as I was reading the article yesterday about how he was preparing himself for the debate, that he was going, and you can just see him doing this, and I know it's going to be a great interview, he'll be a great interviewer, because he's going to hold people to answering questions and getting response, and I was thinking, you know, maybe somebody from Wisconsin Public Radio put an idea in his mind as he prepares, and you'll hear your idea on Wednesday. You don't have that kind of contact with people
access,
anywhere
right.
else. It's just remarkable. So please call with your pledge. As you know, we love this program, this hour. Call now, 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. Or you can go to WPR.org, WPR.org. And we plunge right into all things political now. Our guest is Professor Anthony Nouns, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Tennessee. We'll be looking at a number of issues. A lot of politics is really closely linked with economics, and we will talk about, you know, are we looking at this too much day by day, what's happening with financial markets today, where the markets are going up, if that should continue, is that good news for Republicans? We'll be looking at Troopergate and Friday's report from the special investigator to Alaska's legislative council. Did Sarah Palin abuse the power of her office in trying to get her former brother-in-law, State Trooper Mike Wooten, fired? Yes, is the answer from the report. But was the refusal to fire Wooten the reason that she fired Commissioner of Public Safety Walt Monaghan? Not exclusively, and it was within her rights as the state's chief executive to fire him for just about any reason, even without cause. We will talk about that. We'll talk about voter drives and the ground game that's been going on all over the country, and whatever else you'd like to bring up. The election only 22 days away now. Our on-air number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and we'd love to hear from you this hour. Professor Anthony Nouns, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hello. Thank you
Hi.
For having me.
Yeah, delightful to have you with us. How would you answer that question that Politico.com posed to a number of people? Based on what you know now, is Obama headed for a blowout victory?
Well, I certainly wouldn't say blowout. But I do think at this point it certainly appears that he's headed for a victory.
And what are the signs? The poll signs? Or?
I think that's all we have to go on at this point is the polls. I guess in my own personal life, I also see another sign, which is that even the people who plan on voting for McCain are not particularly excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that does not bode well for him on Election Day. I think that voters need to come out in pretty large numbers for him to have a chance, and at least with the Republicans, I just don't see that happening.
And why is that? Why wouldn't there be that kind of excitement for this man who has been called, and he's calling himself a maverick, who has been around for a long period of time, who's thought of quite highly by a lot of Americans?
Well, I think the problem is that maverick label doesn't go over too well with the base of the Republican Party, because, of course, what made him a maverick is that on some issues, not a lot, that's overstated, of course, this whole maverick thing, but on a lot of issues, he simply did not follow the Republican orthodoxy, and they've always been suspicious of him, and that hasn't changed.
Today we're seeing some news, and I never followed financial markets as closely in my whole life as the last couple of weeks. Today we're seeing news after the meetings over the weekend that the stock market seems to be doing well today. Can you play out the next 21 days for us? If it seems to stabilize, if it goes up, if it recovers a lot of ground, is that great news for John McCain and Sarah Palin or not?
Well, I think it is. I don't know at this point that it would be enough, but certainly days where the market loses 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 points are good days for Obama and not good days for McCain. So I think it may not help him, but at least it, as these political types say, stops the bleeding.
Mm-hmm. Some of the rhetoric from the McCain campaign has been toned down. Would you comment on that a little bit? They're saying the same kind of rhetoric is being thrown at them by the Obama campaign. But there's been some pretty nasty stuff said, and I'm sorry to say some of it in Wisconsin, at some of these rallies. And it seems as though the candidates on the Republican side have had to tone it down.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the first thing that is noticeable about that is that it's a big sign. The McCain campaign is in real trouble. They're desperate. and they decided a week or two ago that they were going to start these increasingly personal attacks and character attacks. And I think what they found is two things. One, it didn't seem to be working. The poll numbers did not move. And two, it put John McCain in some situations that he just is not comfortable in, and that is in rooms full of people who seem angry and upset and in some cases downright violent. And I think that because of those two things, they decided that they just can't keep this up. Certainly as a candidate, he's not comfortable with it, and I think that his handlers, even if they think it's a good idea, know that they cannot continue to put him in positions where he is not very comfortable when he's, you know, standing and talking to a bunch of voters.
It must have been more than a little bit embarrassing for him to be at that rally in Minnesota where the woman took the microphone and talked about Obama being an Arab, and you could see on his face, ooh,
right.
This has gone a little
right.
bit too far, right. couldn't you?
Yeah, you really could. And I think, you know, I think personally, you know, McCain's campaign has been pretty low. Obama's done some low things, too. But I think it has been pretty low. And I think finally he just got fed up and saw that this was a runaway train, that unless he got control of it, some really bad things weren't going to happen. And I think, look, the obvious next step, and we've already seen it a little bit, is, you know, some racial stuff. And there's a number of reports and some videos that you can even go see that some of the people at these rallies have resorted to racial taunts. And, you know, John McCain's just not that kind of a guy. And I think he was embarrassed. I think he's worried. And I think it really bothered him.
Right. Well, and the amazing thing is that it was used against him in a despicable manner in the year 2000.
Yeah, and, you know, I've always felt that politicians tend to have pretty thick skins and try to put that kind of stuff behind them. They have to be to do what they do for a living. But I do think that there was a limit, and I think that McCain did reach that limit. There's a lot of evidence that incident that you refer to, which is, of course, when somebody associated with the Bush campaign, officially or unofficially, you know, spread a rumor in South Carolina that he had fathered an African-American baby. There's some evidence that he got over that because, you know, a lot of the same people who worked on Bush's campaign are now working on his campaign. But I think a lot of us thought, well, that's one thing, but even he has a limit at some point where he's going to say, okay, this has gone too far. And I think we saw that last week.
Right. I'm wondering how either of the candidates in the debate on Wednesday night can reassure Americans. I can't tell you how many conversations, and I'm sure you have as well, and our listeners, over the weekend from people who said, you know, I don't want to open up my retirement account statement and figure, well, I better go ahead and do it, and found how much money had been lost. And people are really obviously very worried about
right.
this whole situation. It seems to me a couple things. One is that the next president is going to have a huge task on his hand. And two, I'm wondering if either one has been able to give us a real complete economic plan over the course of the campaign to reassure understandably worried Americans.
No, I don't think they have, and I don't think they can. I just, first of all, and this is something that I talk to my classes about, look, economists, business people, people who study this kind of stuff for a living, they don't really know what the answer is. So the idea that the politicians or us regular citizens could know is kind of silly. I don't think there's much they can do. The advantage, of course, there goes to Obama, because at least he can say, I may not know exactly what I'm going to do, and you don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but I know what I'm not going to do, and that is the stuff that's been being done for the last 8 years. But as far as reassuring people, I don't think there's much they can do. I think Obama can reassure us that he's not George Bush. McCain would try to do that, but of course it's a lot more difficult for him.
Right. What do you think about voter turnout? Do you anticipate it's going to be a huge election?
I think it's going to be big, but I don't think it's going to be appreciably higher than the last couple, to be honest with you. I mean, there just seems to be a range, you know, between 50% and 60%. And I think it'll be on the high end of that, but I don't see it being any sort of, you know, record-breaking turnout.
Mm-hmm. The other big news that happened over the weekend was Friday's report from the special investigator in Alaska to the Legislative Council about Troopergate, which I thought was interesting in that Sarah Palin called it Tasergate and not Troopergate. What do you think of their findings, and is this damaging to her?
Well, the first question is, what do I think of their findings? I mean, it seemed kind of silly. I mean, on the one hand, it says that she abused her power. On the other hand, the report said she didn't do anything illegal. Well, you know, to me, abuse of executive power seems to be a pretty serious charge. But then to say that she didn't break the law kind of undermines that. Number two, I don't think it's going to make much difference. I mean, I think people like me and you who follow the news as part of our jobs tend to pay a lot of attention to that, but I don't see any evidence that the vast majority of people really know or care that much about it. I mean, I haven't met anybody in the last few weeks who hasn't already made up their mind about Sarah Palin. I don't see her supporters now reading that and saying, oh, I don't want to support her anymore.
Right.
And I don't see her detractors saying, oh, gosh, you know, this is unfair. I'm going to support her now. So, to be honest, I don't think it's going to make much difference at all.
We're going to welcome phone calls. Let's talk politics. 22 days now from the presidential election, all things political this hour. And our guest is Professor Anthony Nouns. He's Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Tennessee. Join us on air, as you have for many Mondays now, and tell us what your thoughts are. The news over the weekend, you can talk about Troopergate, or you can talk about the rallies, the tone of this campaign, which seems to have been changing, the economic news from Wall Street, which today appears to be just a little bit better. Does that play a factor in the last 22 days here, or are people just extremely worried, and it's bound to be a victory for Obama simply because he's not as closely tied to the past 8 years of Republican rule in this country? We'd like to hear from you. Again, the number and our lines are completely open, so it's a great time to get through. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All things political this hour, 800-486-8655 is our number. And a reminder of the fact that we're in a pledge drive, and it only goes until 1 o'clock today. So if you are a political junkie and you love what we've been bringing to you on a regular basis for actually a couple years now, please call with your pledge. Any amount, so much appreciated, but you need to call now if you want to really feel as though you're a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, because this is it. 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. We go to your phone calls now and start our calls with Dave from Appleton. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I'd like to know what the guest thinks, whether the American people have, after this, if it does go to Obama, actually changed the way they think, or is it simply that it takes a huge set of disaster after disaster to make people just vote for the other guy just because they're not thinking any differently about things fundamentally?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Thank you, Dave. Well, I think there's two answers to that question. On the one hand, this is a referendum on George Bush. That's what it is. And it does indicate that the public wants change. And obviously Obama not only is emphasizing that, but has a better claim to it than McCain, who is associated, of course, with the Republican Party. The second answer is, does it signal fundamental change in the way people are thinking? Probably not in the short run. But I think that one thing people like me who study politics have found out is that over time, things like this tend to have an effect. So it's gradual and it's slow, but I don't think there's a whole lot of people out there who have changed their mind radically about their views about the economy or the government's role in the economy. But I do think that this is the beginning of something, and that is that an era where we were told, at least for the last 8 years, and really going back to the Reagan years, that government is always part of the problem, small government is good, big intrusive government is bad, well, no one's really saying that anymore, including the Republicans who have been saying it for the last 30 years. So, you know, in my opinion, it does signal a change, but I don't think it's a sea change. I don't think it's a huge change. I think it's a small change, and I think that we won't really see all of the effects of it for another decade or so. But I do think it's a fundamental feeling that maybe this era of small government conservatism, Republican emphasis on these issues is coming to an end.
Thanks, Dave, very much for the call. Mary is next from Manitowoc. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
I have two questions that I'm really concerned about for this political race. The one thing I'm not hearing the candidates say is where they stand on the Bush Doctrine, period. Like that if we feel threatened, we have the right to go and start a war. The second thing that I think is important to a lot of people, and especially to me, is I want to know, is there going to be any way that people who caused the economic problems we're in, who made those decisions, who made millions of dollars, even though what they have caused is a great deal of trouble, also those who started the Iraq War under false pretenses, is anything going to be looked at in having them experience some kind of consequences?
Professor?
Let's start with the first one, the Bush Doctrine. I think two things are interesting about that. Number one, the fact is that both candidates support the Bush Doctrine. I know people don't like it, like to hear that, but neither one of the candidates has said publicly, look, I would never launch a preemptive war. And I think they know they really can't do that. So I think this idea of the Bush Doctrine and how people differ on it is a little bit overblown and a bit of a media construction, because the fact is Barack Obama has never said, hey, if I think someone's going to attack the United States, I still wouldn't attack them. So I think that the idea that they are different, sure, but I don't think anybody running for president has ever said, if I felt that the very existence of the United States is threatened, I wouldn't go to war. So I don't think that is as big an issue that divides the candidates as perhaps some people do. The second thing is that, you know, a month or two ago, they were talking about foreign policy, of course, and the Bush Doctrine and Iraq and Afghanistan. But, of course, events of the last month have basically shoved that issue aside for both candidates. I mean, they're just not going to talk much about foreign policy when virtually everybody has decided that the economy is the most important issue right now. And as someone I saw on television a couple weeks ago said, right now the economy is the number one issue on people's mind, but it's also the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. So we're not going to see much talk about the Bush Doctrine or any foreign policy, frankly, for the next 3 weeks. The second part of your question, the second question that you had, I think the short answer to your question is, are any of these people going to be held accountable? No. I mean, you know, first of all, there's too many people who are to blame for this. And neither Democrats nor Republicans really want to get into the causes of the financial crisis, because they realize that there are people in both parties who are to blame. As far as the Iraq thing, I think if you look around and you see the Paul Wolfowitzes and the Rumsfelds of the world, they seem to be doing just fine. They found employment in a lot of cases, quite lucrative employment, and I don't see, other than perhaps their reputations with some segment of the public, that there's going to be any day of reckoning for them.
Thanks, Mary, so much for the call. Is there something that you want to be addressed either more completely at Wednesday's debate, or something that really has fallen off the radar that's extremely important for us all to hear the candidates' positions?
Well, I think the thing that strikes me the most is, first of all, neither one of the candidates really seems all that animated or upset or whatever you want to call it about the financial crisis. They talk about it in terms that suggest that they care about it and that they have some ideas, but it doesn't really seem to have this visceral impact on them that it has on us. The second thing is, I want to know where all this money is going to come from. We have run up colossal debts in the last 8 years and cut taxes at the same time and been in two very expensive wars. And I haven't heard either candidate tell us, how are we going to start paying down the debt, and how are we going to start paying for some of the things they want to do? And, of course, it's very unpopular for a politician to say, I'm going to cut spending here and raise taxes here. But, I'm a little bit disgusted and concerned that neither one of them is addressing the issue of how we're going to pay for all this and how we're going to pay off the debts that we've raised in the last couple of decades.
Gail from La Crosse. Hi, Gail.
Hi. I have a question about McCain's wanting to stop the attack ads. I think it's a pretty disingenuous idea in reality, because most of the attack ads come from the Republican Senate or presidential campaign, not from his campaign. How does he get them to stop their ads or convince people that the ads, regardless of who they're from, are too negative?
Well, that's a good question. I think the answer is he can't. He really can't. And in fact, he's in a very difficult position, because his campaign decided that they wanted to go increasingly negative and go with some of these character attacks. So it not only would be practically impossible for him to stop these things, I think what I see in him is he doesn't have necessarily a problem with the negativity. He just doesn't want to have to see it in his face. And I think that's a very difficult line, and I don't think that he's done a good job of balancing those things. He wants to go negative. He wants to bring up these character issues. But when he's a room full of these people who are saying this stuff to him, it makes him very uncomfortable. So he's in a difficult position, but I think the short answer to your question is there's really nothing that he can do, especially with these outside groups that are not affiliated with his party. They can do whatever they want, and nothing he says is going to stop them.
Thanks, Gail, for your call. We go to Rich next from Appleton. Hi, Rich. Hi, Rich. Go ahead.
I know, sir, that this might not be in your arena, but one of the questions I have, and I haven't heard it discussed on any kind of public network, you know, public radio or anything, is with the in regards to the $700 billion bailout, it's always going to the top. And I was talking with some friends the other day, and we were wondering what would happen if the money started at the bottom. If you gave, I think they figured it out, it would be like $200,000 for every person 18 years or older that they would get. Instantly, it would be taxes back to the government. Everybody would pay their mortgage off and get the system stimulated again.
Is that right? $200,000 for every adult?
Oh, well, I hope you're not asking me because I don't know.
I haven't heard that figure.
$100 billion is obviously.
Where did you get $200,000, Rich?
Pardon me?
Where did you get that figure of $200,000?
It was a financial advisor that sent me an email about a week ago.
Oh, I'm not sure it's all that high, but is it top up economics instead of working with people who don't have as much? Do you see the bailout that way, Professor Nouns?
Well, I mean, again, I don't know that much about you know, all of the details of the plan. I do know this. I know that one, it certainly appears that way to a lot of regular people like us. I don't make a ton of money as a college professor, and it appears that way to me. Of course, two, the people who wrote this thing would tell you, look, we know it looks that way, but we have to stabilize the top, especially banks and financial institutions, because those are what everybody relies upon, the businesses that sell you things, the companies that you work for. So I think he raises a good question, though, and that is the media need to do a better job of telling us what's in this plan. The media also need to do a better job of telling us what other alternatives are there out there. I mean, there are countries all over the world who have dealt with this, are dealing with it now. It has struck me that no one's really talking about other plans. No one's really talking about the way other countries have dealt with this. Maybe we can actually learn something for once from other countries. But so I think the caller raises a very good point. I simply don't know the answer, but I do know that it happened very quickly. And the media are focusing on the political aspects of this, who's this going to help, who's this going to hurt, and really haven't told us that much about what's in the plan and if there are some alternatives out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've raised a talk show topic, so we'll do that, huh? We hear good ideas, and we'll do that's a really good suggestion for a show. Our number is 800-486-8655. It's All Things Political this hour, as it is every Monday at 9 o'clock. And our guest this hour is Professor Anthony Nouns, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Tennessee. We are in the last couple hours, really, of our pledge drive for this fall, a very, very important drive for us. I'm Kathleen Dunn, joined in the studio by Rhonda Fanning, producer of this program, and we're here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. This baby ends at 1 o'clock this afternoon, so if you have not had a chance to make your donation, please go online right now at WPR.org or call toll-free 888-202-2552. Hello again, Rhonda.
Hi, Kathleen. And again, that goal this hour is $4,000. And I just got a call from the Terry and Vern Hallebeck Family Foundation, and they agreed to match dollar for dollar every pledge given this next half hour up to $1,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Very nice
great.
Of them to help us reach that $4,000 goal. So matching up dollar for dollar your pledge, get online now at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552. And again, that's the Terry and Vern Hallebeck Family Foundation.
That's very nice of them. And
yes,
I hope we reach that goal. We're at $1,365 right now. So let's get to $4,000 because tomorrow it'll be all hour long. We're just talking. So tomorrow, actually at 1 o'clock this afternoon, this pledge drive is That's all she wrote. And you are an important part of this program, of course. You listen. You're a wonder. I hope you know this, but you're a wonderful audience. You're so smart. You steer the conversation with these terrific guests in ways that we had not anticipated that makes us think of future programs. You're very, very involved as an American citizen and a world citizen, and you couldn't ask for anything more. So thank you. And it's a great service, I think, that we provide for you as well to have intelligent conversation day after day after day. Call, please, with your financial contribution.
That's right. And if you haven't given before, please go online at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support, because Wisconsin Public Radio wouldn't be what it is without your input, like Kathleen said, but also your support as well.
Give what you can. Not everybody has resources, particularly these days, to donate as much as they'd like. So take a look at your resources and then contribute what you can. Every pledge will help us reach our overall goal, and we are particularly interested in getting some new members to join us this morning and some faithful members to join us again. So please call right now. And here's the number. 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552, or WPR.org.
That's right. And I want to mention one more time that goal of $4,000 this hour, and also the pledge from Terry and Vern Hallebeck Family Foundation to match dollar for dollar every pledge we get between now and the end of this hour, all things political, because you come to expect this program every Monday morning. We need your pledge to keep the show going each and every Monday for the next year.
Exactly. And think of all we've given to you since this election season started 2 years ago.
That's
which
right.
It is 2 years ago. We've just had a rip-roaring good time with all of it. And I know the conversation continues with Rhonda and me and our friends and people in the office. And it's just a big election. So think of how terrific it is to have this forum for all of us. Thanks, Rhonda.
Thank you.
And the number for you to pledge, again, you can keep two numbers in your head, right, is 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. For you to join our All Things Political conversation with Professor Anthony Nouns, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Tennessee, that number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And we go to Matt as our next caller. Hi, Matt.
Hi, good morning. I have two questions, and one was kind of spurred by my wife because she tends to do more reading on the issues than I do. And she asked me, she said, what happens if the Bush tax credits are rolled back along with the child tax credits? She said, for us who are middle income, that would equal a several $1,000 per year tax increase on us. And secondly, when the president is in office, he doesn't have any direct control over the economy other than being a mouthpiece. He has to rely on Congress to send him things. So how much blame can really be placed at the president's feet for the state that we're in, since he can't really do anything about it?
Okay, well, so the first one, I'm not sure what the question was, other than if all of the Bush tax cuts are rescinded or allowed to expire, if you would pay more taxes. I mean, I think that depends on your situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that's going to happen, but I can tell you that, you know, if Obama is elected president, which it looks like he will be, some people are going to have their taxes raised. I don't think there's any question about that. I take him at his word that most people will not have their taxes raised. I think he's probably got something in mind along the lines of what Bill Clinton did in his first or second year in office, which was raise taxes on the highest income Americans. But I don't think there's any question that there probably will be some tax increases. And to be honest with you, I think in the next few years, no matter who the president is, Republican or Democrat, something's going to have to change because we have tremendous debt, and I think it's going to be harder for us to borrow money to pay that debt. The second question, I think, is very interesting because certainly it appears that McCain is struggling primarily because of his association with George Bush. The question, is it fair to blame Bush for this? I think the short answer is no, it's not. I mean, it's certainly not all his fault, but the fact of the matter is that he is the guy in charge. And people view the president as responsible for the bad, but you have to remember that this goes both ways. In the immediate aftermath of 9/11, he got a lot of credit, even though you know, for a while he didn't really do much of anything. So I don't really think it's fair. On the other hand, you know, to say he doesn't have much control over the economy, I think that's a little simplistic. I think the president certainly does have a lot of control over the economy. At the very least, we have to say that the idea that we can continue to cut people's taxes and spend more money and that would be okay, at least we can say that idea is discredited. And that idea is an idea that came from George Bush and many other Republicans and even some Democrats. So is he to blame for all this? No. Is he partially to blame? Sure. A lot of people are. It may not be fair to blame him personally for everything, but I do think the president does have some control, and certainly he sets the agenda for what policies are going to be considered by Congress. He does write the budget, though, of course, Congress has to decide whether or not to accept it. So does he have direct control? No. But he certainly has, I think, more control, in my opinion, than the caller suggested.
Thanks, Matt, for the call. Tom is next from New Berlin. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Kathleen. Yeah, interesting and very good comments from your guests and callers in and stuff like that. I was just going to make a comment. I watch CNN a lot. I watched Lou Dobbs the other night. He had a gal. I caught the tail end of it. Sorry, I can't tell you who it was, but she was a member of either, she was either a senator from out east or she was in the House of Representatives from out east someplace and what have you. She made a comment that before this bill was passed, before the president signed it, it was they were rushing this thing through, and she said that some professor, and she probably named it earlier, I can't tell, from some Eastern college, a doctorate in economics, looked at the program, and he was kind of poo-hooing it and saying that this was not the best situation or the best solution to the problem. And he offered up to her in a private conversation some of his thoughts as to what possibly should be done. She presented this to her colleagues in either the House or the Senate, and they said, oh, no, we can't be bothered by that right now. This has got to get done, and it's got to get done right now. And she said this rush to judgment, so to speak, this without even considering somebody else's thoughts or ideas on it, either to add to subtract from, or whatever, just accept this package, put this guy in charge with no questions asked, she says, I think was a complete disaster. Lou Dobbs, of course, agreed with her and so forth. And I kind of find her argument pretty logical, too. So I guess that's my comment.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you, John. Thanks for the call. Professor Nunes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very good point. And one of the things I try to emphasize in class is that, you know, the way Congress is set up, the way it was designed to work, is slowly, deliberately, and inefficiently. That's certainly the way our system is set up. There's a lot, you know, that you learned in sixth grade, the checks and balances, this, that, and the other thing. It's designed to work slowly. When it works quickly, and I think Tom is right, and I think whoever he's quoting is right, when it works quickly and gets things done in a hurry, chances are it's not doing a very good job. And I agree. I think, unfortunately, for Congress and the president, they were under tremendous political pressure to do something. It was interesting. I look at a lot of polls, not just about the presidential race, but about issues. And one of the things they found in the midst of, say, 2 weeks ago when they were considering this bailout was that the majority of Americans thought that the bailout plan, as they understood it, that was on the table, was a terrible idea and that the government should do something else. About the same number of people, however, said Congress and the president need to do something right now.
Yes.
So, you know, that's a very difficult position for anybody to be in, but certainly for politicians, you know, I think that they knew this may not be the plan everybody liked, but I'm getting a lot of pressure to do something, and I think that's what ended up happening. I certainly do think that over time they could have come up with a better plan. I think most of us realize that things that take longer to plan and more things are considered are better than things that are done quickly, but I think certainly they felt like they didn't have a choice.
And what do you think? Did they have to give us something right away, or it all would have fallen apart?
Well, you know, I don't know. I guess my sense is yes, probably, because so much of economics, at least it appears to me as a non-economist, is perceptions. It's all about, you know, what people think is happening. And I think that if the perception was that the government was going to take weeks or months or years to deal with this, that there would even be more trouble. I do have to say, though, that from what I've seen, I think that most people would have been much more supportive if it appeared that more money was going down to regular citizens who were bearing the brunt of the problems.
Thanks so much, Tom, for your call. Let's go to Kathy from Racine. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning. First of all, I want to thank you very much for your fabulous program and the wonderful guests that you have on, including the current guest.
Thank you.
On one point, I would like to beg to differ with him. I personally have seen Obama, Senator Obama, as being very passionate on the issue of how this economy is impacting lower income and middle income people, just ordinary folks, and his own personal experience and his mother's experience, I think really resonate for him with all of what's going on currently. Secondly, I think it's really hard for people to know what he stands for, what anybody, you know, candidate stands for when it comes to how they're going to pay for any proposals that they're putting forth when they're limited to 30-second or minute-and-a-half sound bites. And that's not the fault of the media specifically, but I just think it's very difficult for anyone to explain a complex economic policy in that short amount of time. I do believe it's very clear on Obama's website what he plans to do in terms of funding or how he expects to get funding to pay for what he's proposing. Now, certainly things will change with this current meltdown. One other thing I wanted to say is about accountability. Even now, the FBI is investigating possible fraudulent wrongdoing on Wall Street, and even the Secretary of Treasury has called for investigation of wrongdoing and has made it clear for the last year or so, at least, that we need new regulation. So I guess I'm not quite as pessimistic as your guest about the possibility of some accountability in the area of the economic meltdown. I would like to hang up and take my
hand. Thank you, Kathy. Thanks for your call. Professor Nouns.
Okay, well, let's take those points one at a time. I guess to disagree. I guess I don't see either candidate in terms of the passion and emotion that they show about the economic meltdown, and one of the people that I can refer to is Bill Clinton. You know, a lot of people don't like him, a lot of people love him, whatever. But I do think he had a much, you know, he seemed to connect with people much more personally about specific issues, and empathy was his strong suit. I don't see that with either one of these candidates. Number two, I mean, on the one hand, yes, if you go to Barack Obama's website, you can find some pretty detailed position papers and policy proposals. I guess what I would like is for someone to ask them, okay, you're talking about cutting waste, you're talking about cutting abuse, you're talking about raising somebody's taxes. Tell me. Give me one program that you're going to cut. Tell me one thing, a specific thing that you're going to cut. Tell me exactly. Don't just say over 200,000 or whatever. Who are you going to tax?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to tax? Are you going to tax dividends? Are you going to tax capital gains? That, you know, 30 seconds, a minute and a half, yeah, it's not a long time, but I think it's long enough to be more specific than either of the candidates have done. And finally, I guess in terms of the accountability, yeah, I guess I am a pessimist about these things. And I'm primarily a pessimist about accountability. Well, I guess maybe I'm more of a realist, but I don't think a lot of people set out to destroy our economy. I don't think a lot of people did anything that was against the law. So the accountability that some people hope for, that there isn't really such a thing. People made bad decisions, and a lot of them were just bad decisions. They were illegal decisions, and there's really nothing we could do to them. Of course, if, as the caller says, the FBI is investigating some people. Yeah, I think that some people get in trouble. But in terms of politicians especially, their accountability is at the ballot box, and I don't see a lot of, you know, a lot of evidence that too many of them are going to suffer. George Bush, I think, is going to suffer and has suffered. I think he just wants to go home, and I think he has probably been the one person who certainly nothing horrible is going to happen to him. But I think he's paid a pretty substantial price for what's happened.
Mm-hmm. One more call, John from Eagle River. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you? Just a comment and a quick question. I was told by my town clerk that I made history last week voting absentee. He said you're the first person in Washington Township to vote for a black man.
Really?
I hope a lot more of us make history. At any rate, at the end of the debate, the last debate between McCain and Obama, the last question asked, which neither of them answered very well, I'd like the professor's thoughts on how they could or should have answered that. The question was, what don't you know, and how are you going to go about learning it?
I like that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess I was surprised that neither one of them came up with a particularly good answer. I think Obama did a nice job of showing that he's a relatively humorous guy, and he understands, you know, the sorts of marital relations that most of us have by kind of giving his wife some good-natured ribbing. How they could answer, I think I would certainly be refreshed if one of them said, you know, I don't know what to do to get out of this. I really don't know, but I'm going to try really hard. And I'm also going to be, unlike the current president, willing to listen to a lot of different people. And I think those, you know, I think that's what people want to hear. I think they want to hear, A, that our politicians understand that they don't have all the answers instead of pretending that they do, and that, B, they're open to listening to people that they think or know are smarter than them or might have a perspective that could help them make decisions. That's what I would be looking for in that question, and I agree with the caller that I don't think either one of them did a particularly good job of answering it.
Mm-hmm. We thought it was such a good question. We use it for a pledge
right.
pitch, isn't it? What don't you know? How will you learn it? Well, you listen to us, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, and it is surprising. That's one of the things you learn in, sophomore in high school philosophy. Well, I don't know all the stuff I don't know.
Right.
Why not just say it? There's a lot of stuff I don't. But these guys have been working their whole lives to convince people that they know everything.
Right.
So I guess I understand. Why
yeah.
they,
Thank
why
you,
they
Professor Nouns.
Believe that.
Thanks so much for
well,
being
I
with us.
Well, I certainly appreciate you calling. And I want to put in a plug for you guys that, I give money here to our local affiliate. So I think everyone listening should do the same.
I agree. Thanks so much for being
Thank
with
you.
Us. And you're pledging for all things political this particular hour. The pledge number 888-202-2552. And we're almost at the end of this pledge drive. You only have until 1 o'clock this afternoon. So if you haven't yet donated, would you please consider doing so right now? Coming up the next hour of our program, following the wonderful news from National Public Radio on the hour, Greg Pallast will be joining us. This is a listener suggestion, and it's a very good one from the same woman, I might add, who invited us to Iowa. So she's got all kinds of good suggestions. And I said to her, let's go to Iowa. So we did. Greg Pallast will be joining us, and we'll be talking about an issue that's of concern to a lot of people. And that concerns voter registration and whether or not rolls have been purged and if anybody's up to a lot of shenanigans. So we'll talk about that the second hour of our program. I'm joined in the studio by Rhonda Fanning, producer of this program, asking for your support. Last couple hours now of our fall pledge drive. And again, it's easy to give a contribution, a donation. Go online at WPR.org or call toll free at 888-202-2552. Hello again, Rhonda.
Hi, Kathleen. I just wanted to remind everyone of the generous pledge from Terry and Vern Hallebeck Family Foundation to match dollar for dollar up to $1,000 every pledge that we get for the remainder of this All Things Political Hour on this Monday morning, the last mm-hmm. hour of the pledge drive. So please get online at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552 and let us keep bringing you this program each and every Monday.
We love doing this show. We love politics, and in such an important election year, I hope that you have appreciated this as well. And I can tell you do, because the phone lines just light up immediately when we have our All Things Political conversation. Great guests that Rhonda has lined up for us, frequently getting somebody who was at one of the presidential debates or vice presidential debates on the air with us the next day, so we get a live view of what really happened there. It's the caliber of guests that you hear every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. Having access to guests like this and the information they provide is so important. Think about it. Okay, thought about it. Now make your pledge. Online at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552. We've had 49 people call this hour, which is
so
heartening.
That is just a great number.
That's great. Thanks so much, everybody, for all of your calls.
All those political mm-hmm. junkies out
yeah,
there.
All right.
And to think about it, not only the guests, the journalists, the political scientists from where we've had, we've also had three presidential debate moderators interviewed on this program. Bob Schieffer, Jim Lehrer has been on, Gwen Ifill has
yes,
been on Kathleen's
yes.
program. To continue to bring you these kinds of guests, we need your support. So please, WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. These goals are important because it helps us stay on track for this membership drive and this budget cycle. So help us reach this goal right now with your pledge of support. Again, that website is WPR.org and that number is 888-202-2552.
50 callers now, Rhonda.
That's great.
Great. Thanks,
and
everybody.
I want to thank David and Beth from Chile, Wisconsin, who says Kathleen Dunn is the highlight of their Monday mornings.
Aww.
As a stay-at-home mom, her show and other NPR shows and conversation is her source for information. So thank you to Dave and Beth in Chile, Wisconsin. That's I'm sure a lot of people feel that same way. And if you do, please call 888-202-2552.
Just my dog. My dog. I'm the highlight what? Of my dog's morning. That's a so that was a nice comment.
Yeah.
Come on, Mom, let's go outside. And we only have a couple minutes left this hour. Our great All Things Political conversations that Rhonda has lined up for you, they're just great. I wish we could just listen to all of them again. Maybe we should do right before the election. That's a good idea, isn't it? Right before the election, just do a collage of all of the conversations that we've had. It'd be a lot of work, but
right.
Wouldn't it be fun to think about who we've interviewed?
Yeah, I'll get on that right after the end of
right
this
after pledge, the
pledge drive.
Drive.
Yeah.
Right.
But no, that would be good. That would help us bring full circle, I'm sure.
Yes.
A lot of our favorite callers and some of the highlights of our guests, maybe even some clips from our remote in Dubuque, Iowa, for the Iowa caucuses. So these last few minutes of Kathleen's All Things Political Hour, go to the phone, go to your computer, log on at WPR.org, or give us a call at 888-202-2552 so we can keep bringing you these All Things Political. Did you mention the live remote that we're having in Marquette?
I never had a chance to.
Okay, well, maybe we could do that now.
Go right ahead. Hold on. Let me present to you a flyer that tells us all about it.
The live radio broadcast with host Kathleen Dunn and special guest Mike Goucher is going to be Thursday, October 30th from 9 to 11. We're going to be down there on the Marquette campus a few days before the election. We're going to have student representatives from each side of the campaign. And it's going to be a great 2 hours of live radio. We're going to talk about the issues important to you.
Thanks, Rhonda, so
Thank
much.
You.
We just want to let you know we've had 5,832 pledgers toward our target of 7,200, so keep those calls coming in. And thanks, everybody, so much
Thank
for
you.
Making Mondays just Monday morning of all things, to making it a time to look forward to. How often can you say that? I love going to work on Monday mornings. Thanks, Rhonda. Thanks for producing this hour as well. And thanks for all of your calls, everybody, on air and for pledging this hour. We deeply appreciate it. I'm Kathleen Dunn. News coming up in just a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.